Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast, the season-long edition. My name is John Solly. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm a PFW Fantasy Football contributor. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Kyle Neighbors. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. He is the Northwest Herald Sports Editor and PFW Fantasy Football contributor. And Arthur Arkish. You can find him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. He is a Mr. Fantasy for us over at Pro Football Weekly. You can find all of his rankings over at profootballweekly.com for each week. I highly suggest you go check them out. Guys, are you ready to go through each game for this week in fantasy?
Heck yeah.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with the London game. Another London game here. So you get to wake up to some football on Sunday. New Orleans at Miami. The over-under is 50.5 with New Orleans favored by 3. New Orleans technically the road team here. Kyle, I want to get your thoughts on this one. Obviously, you're playing Breeze, and this really looks like a wheels up type moment for the Saints offense.
Yeah, you know, I always worry about how teams are going to react to going overseas. Should be interested to see what happens here with Willie Snead back in the fold. I think you can play him. Brandon Coleman, it should be interesting also to see where his role ends up here. Kobe Fleener continues to play well. I think there's multiple ways you can go about this. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that really anyone, if you've got anyone on the New Orleans offense not named Adrian Peterson, who, by the way, is a little banged up, I think that's a decent play. On the Miami side, I'm really not afraid to play anybody as long as they're healthy. So I'm sort of watching Jay Ajayi this week. But as long as he's healthy, he's going to definitely remain in my lineup.
Jay Cutler didn't scare you away last week with that performance?
You know, I'm writing it off. I really am. You got a bad outing against the Jets. It's a terrible thing to happen, but I'm writing it off. The New Orleans defense is certainly a prime matchup. All right, let's move on to the next one. Carolina at New England. 49 is the over-under. New England favored by 9 at home. And Arthur, I asked Kyle this question on the DFS podcast of whether we were burning money by playing Cam Newton. If you've got Cam on your season-long team, it's another prime matchup. No one gives up more points in fantasy football to quarterbacks than the New England Patriots. Do you have the stones to roll them out this week, though?
Yeah, I've got Cam as my QB 16, so clearly I'm kind of a little gun-shy at this point. You know, the Saints were a prime get-well opportunity, and instead Cam looked as bad as ever last week at home. So now going out to Foxborough, where the Patriots are, can't be happy letting Deshaun Watson go almost 350 against them and pulling off an upset. So and he could be without Kelvin Benjamin. I haven't seen what his Thursday injury status is. But
he participated in practice today.
Okay, well, it's a step in the right direction then, obviously. But I don't know, guys. I'm pretty nervous about Cam at this point, and I think I'd be exploring better options if I had him. I really like Christian McCaffrey in this one, much like last week, and Jonathan Stewart, too, because I don't trust that Patriots front seven. But other than that, I can't find a lot to really like on the Carolina side.
To give you a
to
give you a feeling on how I feel about the Cam Newton situation at this point, I have Cam in our season-long league where I'm representing PFW for Blog Talk Radio, and I am putting him on the bench in favor of Deshaun Watson.
Wow. Deshaun at home against Tennessee. That's telling for sure. I can't really argue with it, though. Cam just looks out of sorts, and right now he's a one-dimensional passer, and that one dimension is substandard, and that's his throwing.
Yeah, until he shows an improvement, I can't go there.
Don't blame you.
Yeah, Arthur, Chris Hogan has looked great for the past couple of weeks, but it looks like Danny Amendola is going to work his way back a little bit more into the lineup. Is Hogan still a guy you're considering at maybe a wide receiver two or a flex position this week?
Yeah, I think you roll with Hogan moving forward. Brandon Cooks, Chris Hogan, obviously Rob Gronkowski, all those guys feel really good about. James White's the one who struggled a little bit. I've been ranking him a bit higher. He's fallen short of expectations in a few straight weeks now. And with those Panthers linebackers, maybe this is the week where you sit on White. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about White's matchup this week. It screams Mike Gillisley this week. I think.
Yep, I'm with you. And Gillislee's been disappointing a little bit too, but you have to feel like he's going to fall into the end zone at least once and feel good about that. So, yeah, it should be interesting. If Carolina doesn't put points up on New England this week, you can go ahead and sell your Panthers shares because it's probably not happening.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Rams at Dallas. 48 is the over-under. Dallas favored by 6 at home. Kyle, we touched on this one in the DFS podcast too. When it comes to your season-long leagues, who are you firing up in this one? Obviously, Zeke and Gurley. After that, who do you fire up in this one?
Well, if you haven't gone and picked him up yet, I think Robert Woods is really establishing himself as the number two receiver there. I think he is against the Cowboys secondary that is about as bad as we expected. I think he's worth firing up as a wide receiver 3 or in your flex spot. Outside of that, I mean, you're playing the big guys over on Dallas. Are you guys willing to play Jared Goff in this situation?
All right, here's the question. Jared Goff or Cam Newton?
Ooh.
Arthur?
You know, I'd still lean toward Cam just because there's at least the hope that he's going to figure it out as a runner. Goff isn't going to bring you anything with his legs, and he really only got pass happy for the first time last week in that 41-39 shootout. So I am excited about Goff. I am selling. I am buying what McVay is selling, but I'm not sure this would be the week for Goff for me.
Real quick, I would like to say that I've always been a huge Sammy Watkins fan, and watching him just bound down the field last week was just fantastic to see.
It's a nice offense for him. It really is. I would play Goff over Cam Newton this week, to be honest with you, in season long. I think this game has shootout potential.
There's not a lot of QBs at this point that I wouldn't play over Cam, but I'm rather bitter at this point.
What about Carson Palmer, Kyle?
Oh, God, you missed my DFS rant. I am preemptively yelling at John because I'm going to end up playing either Palmer or I've already decided Larry Fitzgerald's going in my lineup this week, and I'm already screaming at John for it.
I had to work that in there at some point during the podcast. At least I didn't make it my bold prediction last weekend, unfortunately. That was stupid Amir Abdullah, but I just had a feeling about the Cardinals, and sure enough, Fitzgerald and Palmer both look fantastic.
Yeah, they did.
I'm just sitting here laughing.
All right, laughing. I'm done. My arms are from patting myself, so I'm done over here.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next game. Detroit at Minnesota, 42.5 is the over-under. Minnesota favored by 1.5 at home. Arthur, obviously you're firing up Diggs and Thielen. Do you believe in Case Keenum continuing what was an amazing performance last week?
Yeah, you know, if Case Keenum has had a performance in his career better than last week, it was last season against the Lions. I don't know if you guys remember, but he completed more than 80% of his passes and threw 3 touchdowns. You'd think, oh, okay, dink and dunk. He must have had a 5-6 yard per attempt average. No, he was over 10 yards. So I'm buying it. I really am. I think what the Vikings thinking this week is that with an extra day on the other side of week 4 to prepare before Monday Night Football against the Bears, they want to make sure Bradford's good and they feel a little bit more comfortable after what Keenum did last week. So, I mean, you probably have better options than Keenum, but definitely feel good now, certainly about Diggs and Thielen and Dalvin Cook, just an absolute machine. There's not much I really love on the Lions side, though. I don't really trust Stafford's weapons at all. I mean, Eric Ebron coming off a drop fest, Marvin Jones when they really need him has been a little disappointing. So feel really good about the Vikings offense and the Vikings D actually in this one is decent, but not a lot to really get behind with the Lions. What do you think, John?
You know, I really have a lot of fun picking on Trey Waynes, and I'm going to continue doing it with Golden Tate. I don't see any reason why Golden Tate doesn't have a good one, but beyond that, I really don't want to play any of my other Lions.
Would really like to pat myself on the back here. You mentioned Amir Abdullah, and looked about as bad as I expected him to last week.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, what was your bold prediction, Kyle? I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but it probably was bad.
Oh, convenient. Yes, Amir definitely laid an egg when I thought there was signs of him breaking through. You are absolutely right.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. Tennessee at Houston, 43.5 is the over-under. Tennessee favored by 1.5 on the road. Kyle, can Deshaun Watson keep it up after that stellar performance at New England?
So here's the thing. I worry about Deshaun Watson's turnovers. I think he fumbled twice and had two interceptions last week. But he gives you a floor with his rushing ability against a Tennessee defense that I think is awful. So I expect Deshaun Watson to have another big week. And I actually think it helps. And if you're looking for a flyer to go on the waiver wire, I'm a big fan of Will Fuller. He performed really well last year. Was dinged up to start this year. And, you know, I shouldn't say he performed really well last year. He performed really well to start last year. And then kind of the QB troubles got in. You saw him regress a little bit as well. But he's back now. It might take him a week or two to get healthy, but I like what that offense is doing. I think he's someone to go stash. How about you guys?
Too many drops like for me.
Yeah, he's inconsistent, and I was going to give Kyle a hard time. I was going to say, whoa, he stopped watching the NFL after week two last year, apparently. But I like the idea. I like the theory of what he adds to that offense. Deshaun loved his downfield threat and Mike Williams last year, kind of a go-up-and-get-it guy. Fuller's not the same player, but he is going to stretch the field, and I think his return should make everyone better. DeAndre Hopkins from Deshaun Watson down.
A quick note on that. Will Fuller did burn the Titans in their first matchup last year.
There you go. Nice.
Okay. All right. On the Tennessee side, I think Matthews is a pretty good play. I think he's eclipsed Delanie Walker as Mariota's favorite target. What do you guys think?
Yeah, the numbers back it up so far. He's been a good player. He's kind of like the Alex Smith of the wide receiver position. He wasn't too happy watching what Tennessee did to the wide receiving core, and it seems to have a little bit of a fire underneath him. It was easy to forget, I guess. He had 9 touchdowns last season. So, yeah, nice player. I like them both this week. I think you throw Walker out there too, certainly, especially what's going on with the tight ends around the league.
Yeah, Rashard Matthews looks like the clear number one. Really quick, John is pretty, I shouldn't say really high, but I mean, he threw a bone to Eric Decker in our DFS podcast. Do you think Eric Decker is going to be a factor moving forward in this offense? Arthur, that is?
Yeah, I do. I mean, yes, there's a spot for him for sure. I mean, especially, you know, Corey Davis ruled out already. I think he's starting to get the volume in terms of targets, and he's just not putting up the numbers just yet, but it's a very natural fit for him, especially when they get down near the red zone as proficient as the Titans are. And yes, I think he will come on. It looks like actually only 5 targets last week, but he did have 449 receiving, so that was his best game with the Titans, and he's gotten gradually better each week, so I would expect that to continue, yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. Pretty ugly one here. Jacksonville at the Jets. 38 is the over-under. Jacksonville favored by 3. Obviously, if you've got the Jaguars defense, you're going to fire them up, but on the other side, Arthur, Bilal Powell is, I think, startable this week, even though Jacksonville's got a good defense, because Matt Forte is not going to play this week. What do you think about Bilal Powell this week?
Yeah, I'm with it. 15 carries, 37 yards, and a score last week in the big game for the Jets. So, and meanwhile, Elijah McGuire, who I know they like, the rookie, fumbled, so that's not going to help his cause, although they're going to need to keep him involved with Forte down. But yeah, just Powell's ability to play on all 3 downs, I think, definitely puts him in play as a solid flex, if not kind of an uninspired RB2 this week. I mean, remember a couple months ago, we were all thinking, oh, the torch is being passed from Forte to Powell, and he's a breakout player. You know, quietly, guys, the Jets have exceeded expectations a little bit on offense. So I guess you got to roll with it at least while it's happening, right?
Sure, why not? And obviously, if you got Leonard Fournette, I think that's a pretty good start this week, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I like Marquise Lee, too. Looks to be kind of rising above Allen Hurns in the post-Allen Robinson world for the Jaguars this year.
I look forward to all the people that plug Mercedes Lewis into their lineups this week to watch him throw up a 0 spot.
Came out of nowhere, huh?
Oh, God. Yeah. I kind of had forgotten that he was in the league.
Me, too. That makes 2 of us, no doubt.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one, then. Cincinnati at Cleveland. 41.5 is the over-under. Cincinnati favored by 3 on the road. Obviously, you're starting AJ Green, but Kyle, I want to get your thoughts on the Cincinnati running back situation. It looks like this might be Joe Mixon's job now.
Yeah, we finally got a little bit of clarity with a coordinator change here. You know, I'm expecting that Joe Mixon is going to continue to see an increased role and you can't really ask for a better matchup here. I think Joe Mixon's going to get the ball a lot. I don't have any problem putting him in the lineup this week. Arthur, how about you?
Yep, I'm with it. I think he had 21 touches last week, so that was clearly his highest usage. And sometimes it takes a coordinator change to kind of shake things up a little bit. They scored early in that one, then hit the brakes. But I would anticipate Mixon picks up where he left off last week, although he improves in terms of the efficiency while maintaining the same workload. So absolutely, he's a guy I would be targeting and actually have targeted a little bit in some of my leagues to see if I can get him as a buy low candidate.
All right, guys, let's move on to Pittsburgh at Baltimore. 42 is the over-under. Pittsburgh favored by 3 on the road. I was reading Deadspin this morning. I think Drew Maggery put it best in his NFL column that he's not falling for it this year with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Every year we expect this barn burner, and it turns into a rock fight. So, Arthur, I want to ask you, should we be lowering our expectations significantly for guys like Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Martavis Bryant, some of those Pittsburgh guys that we really want to fire up most weeks. But this one, you know, traditionally at Baltimore, it doesn't go that well for Pittsburgh. So what do you think about the Pittsburgh offensive weapons this week? Should we be lowering our expectations?
I don't think so, actually. No, I mean, Pittsburgh hasn't broken out yet. They've now been handed their first real bout of adversity, not only losing to a one-dimensional Bears team, but it seems like that locker room is maybe the one in the NFL that wasn't unified throughout this Anthem protest deal. So, and you got to remember what happened last year in the AFC North title game unofficially in week 16. You had the heroic effort from Antonio Brown to win the game and the big game from Le'Veon Bell. So, no, I would actually disagree. And I think this could be the week where all the Steelers explode, but I may be in the minority. What do you think, Kyle?
I would say go bet the under if you're going to bet anything in this game, because I don't see it. Ben continues to look awful on the road. I think we have more than enough of a sample size now. I mean, I'm not saying that you're not playing any of these guys. You're still going to play them in a season-long league, but I think you need to lower your expectations. I don't know what happened with the Ravens last week. That was just... exactly. One thing I will comment on this game that I did find interesting was Juju Smith-Schuster actually out-snapped Martavis Bryant last week, and I think that's something we need to watch moving forward.
And Bryant has not been healthy this week. He's been sick.
Yeah.
He's been limited at practice at best for the past 2 days.
I don't think people saw that coming, guys. We were waiting for him to supplant Eli Rogers, but that's interesting. I didn't realize it came down to that. It looks like they are making an effort to even have some design plays for Juju Smith-Schuster. Touchdown on the shovel pass 2 weeks ago, and then I think he had like their long gain last week or one of their bigger gains of the day.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. This one I think could really shoot out. Buffalo at Atlanta, 48.5 is the over-under. Atlanta favored by 8. Arthur, I think this is a situation where you fire up everybody you've got on both sides, whether it's Tyrod or Charles Clay, or if you've got Taylor Gabriel that you could stash into a flex, or Mohamed Sanu. I think those are good plays, or Tevin Coleman. I don't see a bad play in this game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it could play out that way, but I don't know. I guess I wonder what makes you see that, because the Bills' defense has been so good. Is it just you think coming off the emotional high in the upset over Denver, the defense falters a little bit? Is that kind of the thinking going into this one? Because I guess I was a little bit more pessimistic given how great Buffalo has been defensively and the shortage of weapons for Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I think it's are you talking about the Buffalo offense or the Buffalo defense?
A little bit of both. I mean, is Atlanta going to shoot out against a stout Buffalo D? And then if they do you think the Bills suddenly have the weaponry to where they can get into a track meet? I don't know if I see it.
Yeah, I don't think the Buffalo defense is as good as people are making it out to be. Plus, they're going on the road now. And from the Buffalo offense side, I just think, really, there's only three, I think, legit fantasy options on Buffalo. So when I say fire up everybody, I do really mean three people in Buffalo. But I think that's where all the volume goes. Whether Tyrod gives you a high floor. McCoy, you're starting him regardless. And I think Charles Clay, he's becoming Tyrod Taylor's favorite target. Atlanta's not that fantastic against tight ends. They sort of funnel offense to the middle. So I think on the Buffalo side, I think that's where I'm at. On the Atlanta side, I you're playing Julio no matter what, but I think that eruption spot is coming. I like him back at home. Devonta Freeman, I think, is obviously a great play. And I think, you know, if you like those weapons, I think Matt Ryan comes along for the ride.
Okay. You convinced me. Tyrod was my number two waiver wire ad of the week. Strangely, he fell. Well, I guess it's not strange, but he did fall below 50%. And I know a lot of people jumped out there to get him. And I had Charles Clay on the nine route, too. So, it does make sense. And Atlanta continues to struggle defending running backs. So maybe LeSean McCoy, after two totally ineffective weeks, is ready to break up.
All right, let's move on to the afternoon games. The Giants are visiting Tampa Bay. 44.5 is the over-under. Tampa Bay favored by 3 at home. Odell Beckham is obviously back. Kyle, I want to get your take on the Giants offense outside of Beckham. Eric Edholm wrote a great piece at PFW about how they're really unable to run the ball. Paul Perkins is clearly not the answer there. As a result, the Giants looked like they were throwing more quick-hitting passes, a lot more passes last week. So does that make a guy like Brandon Marshall viable? Does that make a guy like Sterling Shepard viable? Evan Ingram is a guy we touched on in DFS. It's a guy that is viable there. Is he viable in season long? I want to get your take on the Giants passing options outside of OBJ.
Yeah, we've talked here the last few weeks. I think Brandon Marshall is done. I know he had a decent game this past week, but I think that's going to be very hit and miss. You know, he might have a couple more weeks like that, but I wouldn't expect it. I think Sterling Shepard is definitely the higher ceiling guy here. I think he has a better outlook moving forward for the rest of the season. I don't like this matchup for the Giants. I know Tampa Bay just had a really rough go, but they were in a dome on the road. I think they're going to perform a lot better, and I don't think Eli can get anyone the ball consistently enough. They can't run the ball. Paul Perkins was bad last year. He continues to be bad this year, but I mean, the rest of their backfield's kind of banged up right now. It looks like Vereen might not be able to go. Darkwall might not be able to go. I mean, if anything, you might want to look at stashing Wayne Gallman, because with the way things are setting up, he might be the starting running back within the next few weeks.
Arthur, is that what it looks like to you on the Giants side?
Well, they clearly need to do something different than what they've done thus far. So, yes, I think Kyle's right on point, and Gallman is a good fit in what they want to do offensively. But I think this is a dumpster fire that's getting ready to really start raging. There's another piece, actually, from Edholm up on Pro Football Weekly Thursday that you guys should check out, too. Our listeners, that is, on Odell Beckham and whether his ridiculous touchdown celebration may end up costing him the record deal with the Giants that he's seeking, because he has really crossed his owner, John Mara. So I'd recommend reading that piece as well. What about on the Tampa side? Cameron Brate, touchdowns in 7 of the past 11 games now, dating back to last season, and the Giants still can't cover tight ends. They've surrendered a touchdown in each of the first 3 weeks. What say you, John?
I'd say that continues. I think Cameron Brate's a great play this week. I think it's another DJX week, too, to be honest with you.
I do too. Yeah, that target on Eli Apple's back is only growing, and we have to assume that Mike Evans is going to get the Janoris Jenkins treatment. So absolutely on DJX. Those are the plays. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't even be afraid of the Giants run defense the way we used to be. I believe it's ranked last in the NFL right now. It's been a major fall from grace. So one more week for Jaquizz Rodgers to be the lead dog. You could probably throw him into a flex spot or a low end RB2 spot this week.
Yeah. Getting popped by LeGarrette Blount last week was about as low as you can get for the Giants.
Yep. It's ugly, guys. That's a bad situation Ben McAdoo's got on his hands all of a sudden.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. Philadelphia at the Chargers, 47.5 is the over-under. Chargers favored by 1.5 at home. Kyle, Phillip Rivers was terrible last week, but I'm not afraid to plug him in this week if that's your best option. I think he comes back with a great game against Philadelphia. What do you think about Rivers?
Yeah, I think that they're going to have to throw the ball a lot in this game. Melvin Gordon is banged up. Just does not look dependable at this point. And Phillip Rivers has historically had these clunkers and then bounced back really well. And the Philly secondary is certainly beatable. We saw it in the fourth quarter with Eli just torching them last week. I think Rivers, if you're considering playing him after last week, I think you can go ahead and give him the green light, and you can put in, essentially any of his top three receivers there.
Arthur, what do you think about the Chargers side of this?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I wouldn't be scared off by the Rivers implosion last week. I am a little disappointed, troubled. I don't know what the word is. I guess I'm not stunned because I sort of saw it coming, but it may be just a wait and see on Hunter Henry. I mean, he's just been way too inconsistent in terms of the way he's being used. And I think it is compounded by, again, the fact that the tight end situation in fantasy is just absolutely miserable. But yeah, you know, Tyrell Williams' breakout game has to be coming soon. Keenan Allen's been pretty consistent. I'm pretty troubled by Melvin Gordon being banged up, although they did say he's going to be fine. They'll just have to kind of manage the knee. So the Eagles could be coming in too without their best linebacker and their best defensive tackle. So I'm certainly not sitting Melvin Gordon, even though he is a little bit banged up, obviously.
Manage the knee is never a term you want to hear,
especially for a guy with microfracture in his recent history. Yeah, it's unfortunate, and especially for a run first coach who would love to give Gordon the ball 30 times a game if he could. Not a good, not an ideal situation. Sure.
All right, guys. San Francisco at Arizona, 44.5 is the over-under. Arizona favored by 7 at home. We touched on Carson Palmer. You're obviously going to start Larry Fitzgerald, especially after that past week. Is there anybody else on either side of this that you really love? I mean, Carlos Hyde probably, but I'm not starting Pierre Garçon if I don't have to. Kyle, is there really anybody else in this game that is worth starting?
Yeah, there's one guy that I don't know. I'm a fan of Jerron Brown. I think that you're seeing him get more and more of a look in this offense for Arizona, and I think that's going to continue. Arthur, what do you think?
Yes, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was a little disappointed because I needed a big game from J.J. Nelson, and he was missed on a couple potential long touchdowns. But yes, Carson Palmer and Jerron Brown have something cooking. And I know it's the wrong podcast, so I'll turn it back to you guys. But what about a DFS play of Andre Ellington, who looks like he could be the new lead back in Arizona?
No, thanks.
Nah, I'm good.
All right, 49ers run D is pretty bad last week, but okay.
If there's one guy that is an absolute dart throw in this one, it's Marquise Goodwin for a potential long touchdown. If you really are scraping the bottom of the barrel for a wide receiver, Marquise Goodwin could be a guy there. Let's move on to the next one. Oakland and Denver, 46 is the over-under. Denver favored by 3 at home. Man, it's you're not benching Cooper or Crabtree, but again, I think this is another one where we've got to lower our expectations, right, Arthur?
Well, yeah, no doubt about it. That Broncos cornerback group is obviously no joke. My plan is to watch Amari struggle one more week and then go find every one of his owners across my four leagues and just put together the biggest lowball offer I can, because I know it's coming for Amari. It's not always going to be pretty. He may just be one of those guys who's just going to drop footballs. Maybe he's Brandon Marshall throughout his career, but obviously he's going to be a big play threat too, and I think that will come eventually. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on this one. I was nothing short of stunned of watching that Oakland offensive line just get pushed around by Washington, and Denver is playing really good up front. So this is going to be a great, great test and maybe a very telling one on both sides. If Oakland gets pushed around again, do we need to be a little bit worried about what's going on there with their plan?
Maybe. I want to ask one more question of you on this game, Arthur. Trevor Siemian, where are you on his? Is he startable again this week?
I think so. Yeah, I know he messed the bed last week in Buffalo, but that was a tough spot. I mean, I'm a little higher on Buffalo's defense than you are, John, but that was a tough spot regardless, a long trip and coming off a nice high the week before. So, yeah, I think Simeon's back on certainly the streaming radar because I just don't trust this Oakland defense at all. I think those who thought that we're ready to anoint them, you know, to challenge the Patriots, we're clearly overlooking this. But yes, I think Siemian bounces back nicely, and you got to like his top targets in this one, and feels like a CJ Anderson game too after Jamal Charles got going last week. What do you say, Kyle?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that last week because we've seen CJ Anderson have these spurts before, and it seems like Denver is always searching for someone to replace him. Are you at all concerned with the amount of work Jamal Charles got last week?
I'm not yet. I'd probably be more concerned, actually, that now Devontae Booker is the third wheel here, and it's going to be hard to figure how this all plays out. We can't forget they spent a third rounder on Booker last year. So I think Anderson still looks healthy, and I think that was probably more game flow related. But it does look like the carries could be harder to come by for this whole group, and that obviously is never a good thing.
All right, guys, let's run the hurry-up offense on the Sunday night game. Indianapolis at Seattle, 41.5 is the over-under. Seattle favored by 13. Play all your Seahawks, and that very much includes Chris Carson, especially with C.J. Procise looking like he's going to be out. Anybody else have anyone that they like in this matchup on the Colts side?
No, although I will pat myself on the back for saying the T.Y. Hilton game was eventually coming.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Well done. Yeah, Hilton has one of the best games against the Seahawks secondary in the Pete Carroll era. So if you have him, you're probably starting him. But I think that's probably all you're going to feel real good about on the Indy side.
All right, let's go to the Monday night game. Kansas City at home against Washington. 49.5 is the over under. Kansas City favored by 7 at home. Obviously, Kareem Hunt and Kelce are guys that that you're very much interested in. On the Washington side, Kyle, I want to get your perspective on Terrell Pryor. We keep waiting, and the big game hasn't come yet. I don't really see it coming in this one either. What do you think about Pryor this week?
Man, the upside is still there that you're probably giving him one more week, but it doesn't look good. I think if I'm interested in anyone in the Washington offense, would be waiting to see if Jordan Reed is going to be out again and then going up and grabbing Vernon Davis. Arthur, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to play Chris Thompson right now because he's so hot. But yeah, I'm a little concerned about Terrell Pryor. 8 combined targets, 4 catches the past 2 weeks, way down from 11 in week one. So yeah, it's troubling. It's troubling to the point I saw an owner drop him in one of my leagues. So I already have my waiver claim in because I'm not writing him off. But whether he can avoid Marcus Peters in this one, I guess remains to be seen, and definitely would give me some trepidation.
All right, guys, we will close out the show as we do every week with our bold calls. One bold call for each of us. Kyle, let's start with you. Do you have a bold call for this week?
Yeah, I'm going to say Jerron Brown goes for 5 and 100 and a touchdown.
All right, I like it. That's bold. Arthur, do you have a bold call for this week?
Yeah, I don't have specific numbers on it, but I'm going to say that Jimmy Graham's breakout comes. Doug Baldwin banged up. Graham showed some signs of life last week on 11 targets with 772. I think he builds on it and puts in, let's say, a top 3 tight end finish this week, just as his owners are pretty much done with his act.
All right, I'm going to close out with mine. And Kyle, you actually touched on it earlier, but I think it's an Eric Decker week. I think Tennessee finally gets Decker into the end zone, and I think Decker is a top 12 wide receiver this week.
Oh, I'm going to go bold. I look forward to mocking you for this next week.
Yeah, you know, I don't feel comfortable with it, but that's why they make it bold calls, right? All right, guys, that'll do it for this week's Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. For Arthur Arkish and Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solid. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.